Welcome to the Faith Science Podcast. My name is Tyler Bublitz, and welcome back to the fifth Sunday of Easter for the week of April 28th, 2024, and I'm excited to have you here. I'm excited to get into this week's podcast, and I'm excited that we are in this later season of Easter, and I think especially here with what we'll be getting into this week, I think this is kind of a unique spot to be taking in some different context and be thinking about, especially coming off of Good Shepherd Sunday. Here we get the I am the vine, you are the branches text. And I think there is some interesting correlations, even tying back to Lent, in which we just went through within the last month. So I think there's some interesting tie-ins and correlations, and especially that we are in the season, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, of beginning to see new life. And I think it even correlates with the Southern Hemisphere, where we're starting to see the transition as it prepares for the winter that is coming. So this idea of transition is such a great opportunity to be looking at things, considering things, thinking about things. And as people, that is something that we often do. And I think that's where these texts this week really speak to that. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's look back at last week's question, which was, where do you hear God's voice that doesn't come from human construction or humans in general? And we got some great responses this week. We had one response coming from a loyal listener who looks at and talks about how he's had a couple different interactions with fawns and how the beauty of the creation and how often we can mess it up if we mess with it. Otherwise, we can just let it be. And I think there's a beauty and an innocence to especially baby animals that we see and the draw that many of us want to have something like that. But I think that's a way that we do see the creation. I know I've had stories and I've even told some before with deer and fawns and trying to interact, and how we see that there is communication that is beyond just human construction, that there are ways to be able to communicate with something that doesn't speak English, that doesn't speak the same language that we do, to be able to understand something. And I agree here that there's a lot of times without in nature that we muck it up. We try to understand or think we understand quicker than we do. And a lot of times it causes us to miss things. And that's one of the things that I really enjoy about point count surveys. Even though it's hard, standing there and listening for 10 minutes and observing the area and writing down observations as you're listening for birds and what is there and sifting out the noise, there is a moment where you have to keep coming to peace and understanding where you're at, understanding what's going on, and understanding in all of that, there is still so much more here, and that's why we're going to be doing multiple counts this morning to try to understand maybe at a broader picture, at least for a glimpse and a moment of what is going on. So let's just jump into it this week. The first reading is out of Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. This then is a story that for a lot of people who have been within the church, it's a fairly familiar story, but I wouldn't say it's overly popular. And this is of the Ethiopian eunuch, which is a person who is in charge of a queen of Ethiopia's treasury, the entire treasury. And Philip is going on this desert road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And as he's walking, he comes across this person and realizes that this person is going through the scriptures and is trying to understand them. This person is extremely receptive to having some help in understanding this. In the prophet Isaiah, trying to understand this, and it gets the passage, which we are told here in verse 32, like a shepherd, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before the shear, so he did not open his mouth. In humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And this is where then Philip goes through and starts talking about Jesus and what's going on. As they're traveling along, they come across some water. The eunuch then asks, what is preventing me from being baptized? So Philip then baptizes this person in the water. And they then split ways and went on their different paths. This idea of how Philip has come, gave insight, and then they split paths to continue to spread the word of the Lord. The psalm this week, then, is Psalm 22, verses 25 to 31. This is a text of recognizing the love that God has for us is something that is to be feared but not terrified. Something that is this recognition of how God is in control, that we pay homage to God in that, and that's going to deliver us from a lot of the things that would separate us from God. But it's also this thing that is all-encompassing and is something that is restoring and quenches the thirst of who we are as people. The second reading or epistle text is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. This is a text that plays into that love theme a lot more, and the recognition that the love of God and what God was willing to do through his Son, recognizing that God, through Jesus, was able to go through death and resurrection for this connection point for us, so that we may come to know what true love is and be able to understand this, what I would say, agape love, this all-encompassing love that God has for us. And recognizing then, coming in verse 20, those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This idea of the love that then God did for us causes us to love, and thus we show that love to others around us, and this continuing process of that love. The gospel text this week is out of John chapter 15, the first 8 verses of it. And as we talked about in the beginning here, I am the true vine. The Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and as I abide in you, just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. That's the first 5 verses to 5a. So this recognition of Jesus comparing who God is and this vine being Jesus and us spreading the gospel as the branches to be able to bear fruit, this recognition of comparing us to what we would assume is grapevines, but the idea of this agricultural example to give us idea and vision on where we are going with this, I think is extremely important at this point and in this place. And we'll get into how faith and science come together this week, but we have to do our shameless plugs. Oh, Working Preacher, if you haven't checked out Working Preacher, I'd highly recommend it. Between their sermon brainwaves podcasts, their commentaries, their discussions, since I'm an ordained minister, I use them on a weekly basis to help give me some ideas, perspectives, and ideas to look at and think about these different texts. So if you haven't checked out workingpreacher.org, I'd highly recommend that. I'd also highly recommend the Revised Common Lectionary coming from Vanderbilt's Divinity Library. I really enjoy how they lay out the text week to week, along with the art, prayers, hymns, colors, and their daily devotions. So if you haven't checked that out, I'd highly recommend that. It's a great way to help prepare for the week, every week, for going to church. I'd also highly recommend checking out the Green Blades Preaching Roundtable and the Green Blades Rising publication. This is either a weekly reflection or a monthly newsletter that helps give a wide variety of topics of ecological echoes, implications, and urgencies, along with a lot of other different ecological information. If you're enjoying listening to me talk about these types of biological and ecological ideas week to week, I'd highly recommend checking these stuff out. There's a lot of great content there that comes out on the monthly or on the weekly. And so those links will be down in the show notes, and I'd highly recommend checking out the Green Blades Preaching Roundtable and the Green Blades Rising publication. Finally, I'd also highly recommend checking out the Gus Davis Academy for Faith, Science, and Ethics, as this summer they have How and Why We Sleep, Revelations and Rest, June 15th through the 21st at Gus Davis Adolphus College in St. Peter, Minnesota. As I've stated, I will be there this year. I've already been working on some different confirmation. It should be a lot of fun. It's designed for high school students to be talking about and thinking about these different subjects and how do they all relate and work together. It's a great program, a great thing to be able to be part of, and I'd highly recommend checking that out. And if you sign up by the end of April, which is coming up real quick, I do have a $50 off promotional code for an entry into the Academy, and it is EXTRZA24. We'll get you $50 off your registration fee, and that also will be down in the show notes. The hard thing when we start getting examples and metaphors like this, especially of the agrarian style that Jesus likes going into, is many of us don't farm, many of us don't hold livestock, many of us are not in these situations where these initial examples would have been. And so thus, it makes it a little bit harder for us to fully grasp what Jesus is talking about and us bearing fruit and pruning and how does this all work. But there is a little bit of a science behind it, and I think it does bring and breathe some life into these texts. If we can understand some of the basics of why we prune, how we prune, when we prune, and it all depends a lot on the type of plant that we are, additionally on top of that. So let's dig into it a little bit. And again, I'll attach some links down in the show notes to kind of give you some additional information on this. So what is pruning? Pruning is the process of cutting back a plant in some form or fashion. And often pruning is there to promote growth, help shape the plant, and remove dead or diseased parts of the plant. And naturally, this would have happened through fire, wind, frost, animals, going and interacting with these different plants out in nature. So when we then are cultivating gardens or cultivating different areas, there is a couple different ways that you can prune. One of the general rules is that you can prune after flowering or fruiting. This way it doesn't interrupt the growing cycle, which then kind of plays into what is in John's text here. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides on the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So this idea here of when are you going to be pruning, you're pruning at the right times and recognizing these types of processes. And we even get that a little bit in verse 6. Whoever does not abide with me is like a branch that withers, so dead wood, such as branches gathered and thrown in the fire and burned. So again, the process of pruning and figuring out when is the right time to be doing that pruning. Additionally, when we're cutting, there is a process to the cutting. When you are cutting, you want to do it just above a node, which is where like a leaf stem is coming and connecting to the branch. So if you think about a branch, wherever you're seeing the leaf start to come out, you want to cut just above that node. And this then allows for there still to be movement and vitamins and nutrients moving, but you've cut off the apical meristem or the terminal bud, which is where typically the growth is happening. There's hormones that go out and that the growth then is at the end of that branch. With cutting that back and cutting off that terminal bud, at least initially, it's going to stimulate the plant to grow more in the branch itself. So it stimulates more of a fuller bush. So if you're wanting a bush that doesn't necessarily keep growing taller and taller, but you're wanting it to fill out, this is what you would do, is be cutting those apical meristems or terminal buds at the end of the branches to be able to help promote that the other leaves should also get a lot of growth this year. This is why if you think about hedges and hedge trimmers, you're just cutting off the ends of the branches to promote that growth to bulk out that bush or plant. Now, there's other types of pruning also, such as like a hard prune. And this is something that can often be done on like rose bushes, where you're removing a large amount of the bush. You're removing it and it looks pretty bad. But in certain species, this is where they respond really well, such as roses is a good example of this, that allows the plant to come back stronger. It's then focusing the nutrients back into the roots to then shoot back up and focus on new growth. And so this is something that's super powerful that way. And fruit trees, one of the things that you typically need to be thinking about in order to have high yield, you're needing good airflow along with good lighting. So you're going to be trying to cut off these sucker sections, like what I would always heard growing up for tomatoes, but these little plants that are going and growing and that aren't really going to become anything and really are distracting the plant, putting the energy of the plant into something that really isn't going to be helpful for the plant in long term to grow. And so thus is allowing the plant to focus its energy, and especially in a, like a fruit tree, allowing the light to still come in, airflow to come in, and hopefully additionally, you've also been thinking about your harvesting plan that allows for you to have easier ability to grasp where the fruit will be. And harder prunes typically come on a more developed and established plant after fruiting, if we're looking at a fruit tree example, but that the more established plants is when you start doing harder prunes, whereas a younger plant, you're trying to get the plant to establish its root systems and you're just trying to have it grow. So there's going to be minimal to no pruning to go with. I think in a lot of ways, this actually exemplifies the faith really well when we start thinking about it from that perspective. As we get older in life, we start thinking about our faith in a deeper way. And thus, we have to think about, is there things and such and beliefs that we had within our faith and within our relationship with God that are really holding us back, that we're leaning on too much, that we really need to develop? Is there something that we need to prune to be able to force us to grow and heal and to think at a deeper level? How often after our own big fruiting events or big God moments do we also have to go through and prune and figure out how do we encourage the plant to keep growing? How do we encourage the plant to dig deeper and continue to shape itself to the way that we need to be? One of the other things that I really do enjoy about the way of having us looked at as a plant that needs to be pruned is that, like we stated, different plants have different ways and ideas on how you should be pruning. You don't prune a rose bush the same you do as an apple tree as you do a maple tree. There's very different pruning ways and styles that you would be doing for that. And thus, it allows for the beauty within the creation of who God has created us to be to recognize that we each have different pruning schedules in which we need to be looked at, partially based off the type of plants that we would be. If you cut, say, a grape vine all the way down to the roots, that you basically are allowing the roots to come back, yes, there's a good chance that they can come back, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to grow as quickly and full as it did before. Whereas if you look at like a rose bush or a hedge, depending on how you did that, there is a potential that it would come back fuller and stronger, and that that's what it was needing to do. And thus, I think that exemplifies as human beings, as we're walking this faith out, as we are going through these different seasons, there are times that we need light prunes, and there are times that we need hard prunes. There is times we need to take it down where we're basically trusting the roots, the foundation of who we are, and rebuilding up. And there's other times that, no, we just need to take this off or take that off or move this out, and thus allowing the plant really to be able to grow. And now, when you look at the other texts that we have tangled with this and brought through with this, what is this actually showing? Pruning is a form of love. Pruning and being critical of oneself and figuring out how we're going to have that stronger relationship with God is a way of actually growing deeper in relationship with God. It is a prune that is allowing us to actually bear more fruit. If you look at, even take Philip in the Acts reading, Philip has to first listen to the angel telling him to take this wilderness road, so not a typical road that Philip would have taken. Philip then goes and shares this gospel, and then they split. Philip has seen a lot of crazy things in the first 7 chapters of Acts to get to this point. He has seen the resurrection, he has seen Peter and the buildings of the initial church and the different miracles that they've been even seeing after Jesus has ascended. This recognition then that I am still being called and potentially into an uncomfortable situation, not on a familiar path. And yet then here God uses him, and then there's still this breaking off point that the eunuch, we would figure now this is providing new growth, that Philip has come in and, okay, yes, there's words on a page, but there's more to these words, and is trimming the hedge, cutting off the terminal buds to allow that growth to fill out for this eunuch to understand and to grow deeper roots, that baptism means something, to recognize, okay, cool, and then they go their separate ways as the eunuch then is going into a growth phase. We think about as a plant, there is a lot of trust and a lot of faith that we have to put into the gardener. And this is something that is a healthy fear, that recognition on how we need to respect and trust and praise the person who is helping to shape us into who we are. That is the psalm through and through, and what God is doing to us. And in that, it's this thing of, yes, there might be times that it's hard and the prunes are hard, but it's this out of love that helps us grow. And in doing that, it allows us to recognize what our different gifts and abilities are. It takes it out of this idea of comparison, but it allows us to be able to look on each other with love and care and respect, because we recognize the love that God is giving us even when it's difficult. And I think that's where these then all really do tie well to this idea of what a plant has to go through. How often are we actually spending time around the creation, around plants, to recognize when do they need hard prunes on these perennial plants? And when do we need to just let it go, let it be? And that's the hard thing with being a gardener. And yet that's one of the first things that we are told to do. We then have to be able to observe the gardener, the original gardener, in their natural state of gardening to help us understand how to become good gardeners. And when we have Jesus here laying out what is some of the steps of being a good gardener and is looking at it and comparing it to our own faith, I think this is the spot then where we have to recognize this is part of that. And that's where, as I stated, I think this is a good season to be doing this. Yes, we did a lot of self-reflection in Lent, and then we come out of Lent and we have all the celebration, the blooms and stuff are starting to fade here. We still have a few more weeks of Easter, but it's also getting to the point where if you were a flowering plant, this would be deadheading, that maybe you're pulling off the dead heads, the dead flowering heads, cutting them above that terminal bud to allow for that plant to take that energy and shoot it into the plant to continue to grow. Or maybe it's that you are doing some tipping, as they call it, or cutting off that terminal bud, cutting off that apical meristem. Or maybe you do recognize, you know, we've gone through this and I'm still able to bear fruit, but I do need to do a hard prune. I need to go through and do some hard work. And especially as we move into the Pentecost and the season after Pentecost, that is a good time that we're going through some growing season. So again, this is a good time to be doing that pruning, a good time for us to be reflecting on how do we move forward. And if we look at least here in the United States, just the natural cycle of things, we are getting nearer to the end of that natural school year and moving into those summer months. And again, this is an awesome opportunity for us to be able to recognize, cut out, change, make a change to make a difference in our own lives. And I think within our own faith lives, we don't do this enough. when we think about it from a science perspective, when we're looking at these plants, they need to do it in order for them to grow and come back stronger. Do we do that with our own faith, that we find the times that we go through these hard prunes or just pruning in general to make our faith stronger, to make our relationship with God stronger? Because I think that's an important thing for us to be contemplating and thinking about. It's not fun when we look at nature when there's a big major blowdown, or when there is a fire, or there's a late frost, or there's animals that come through and bed or just eat everything away. But what is that actually doing? It's allowing the plants to come back stronger, allowing them to understand we have to do better. And so thus they do it. And I think that's where, as humans, especially in the culture, at least in the United States, it's so easy for us at times to put our faith on autopilot and not go through these hard prunes. So the question I have for you this week is, where do you need pruning? Where do you need pruning? I know in my life, there's a couple hard prunes that there's times where I've thought I've taken care of them and they keep popping up, or the remnants of them pop up, and then you have to keep pruning that back. There's other times where you're going through life and you just start recognizing what I thought was a blessing is now becoming a hindrance. And so there's times where then you just need to prune it back. I think there's a lot of times within nature we start seeing that, where think about like a coniferous forest. The lower branches just all die off. Why? Because the light isn't getting there. They're not as useful anymore. It's taking its energy and shooting it up the tree. And so this is a recognition of, we need to continue to do this, to contemplate this, to look at how do we keep making what we're trying to be as followers of Christ and becoming the plants that God is calling us to be the best that we possibly can. It means that we need to be truly critical of ourselves in a good and positive way, but be willing and able to do the pruning that is necessary in order for that to happen. And that is a difficult part. And you think about it, in a lot of our relationships, there is always times when we have discussions, have fights, have different things, and you have to work through them. Why then in our own faith life do we sometimes skip that part? Because it's hard, because it's difficult. And then we wonder why there's some people of the faith that we look up to and it's like, wow, how do they keep growing? Because we aren't necessarily always seeing the hard prunes that these people are going through. So I think it's this recognition and thinking about, if plants have people tend to it and people at times helping guide how a plant grows, we need to be looking for those leaders within our own lives. We need to have our ears open enough to trust our brothers and sisters around us, to recognize that in their love and care, they're going to be calling us out. And at times that's going to help us see where we need to prune. There's also times that it's just going to be through prayer that we have to recognize it that way. And like the gardeners that we have been called to be, it allows us to, as we do it more and more, start recognizing more and more where these different prunes are that we need to have. And in doing that, it allows us to bear more fruit. It allows us to flower more and allows us to become more and more the plants that God has created us each individually to be in the masterpiece of the garden that God has called us into. So we'll wrap this up as we always do. I pray God blesses you through your faith and amazes you through science.